Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Steve Bevan. He is the author of the brand new book, We Will Rise, a true story of tragedy and resurrection in the American heartland. The book covers the tragedy surrounding the University of Evansville Purple Aces basketball team in 1977. It was a plane crash that took the lives of really every aspect of the team, player and personnel. Steve, you put this book together. You're an Evansville native. I think those of us outside Indiana know the reputation of Indiana for being lovers of basketball, but I think we get a little bit skewed in our view, thinking that it's only high school basketball and maybe Indiana University that they care about. But University of Evansville, at the time, what was the situation like with the team and the team support that it had in the Evansville area?
Evansville had previously won five Division II national titles, and the basketball program was really an important institution in the town. It was a school with 2,500 students, but routinely drew 12,000 fans to its home games. So it was really a big part of Evansville's identity. So after many years in Division II, the Aces were moving up to Division I in 1977. Had a new coach, 34-year-old Bobby Watson, very charismatic, 6'8" tall, who kind of swept Evansville off its feet. And so there was a lot of optimism. They had recruited a hotshot freshman from a little town in Illinois, and his name was Mike Duff. And so people were excited about taking the step up and having a new coach.
Where is Evansville's in southwest Indiana, but how big of a city are we talking about at the time?
This is always hard because of the tri-state area. It's probably 150,000 in the city and maybe 250 overall.
Okay. So, it's 1977, December 13th of that year, and so you're about 10 years old at this time. When you hear the news of this tragedy, how does it start trickling in around town?
Well, I was at a high school basketball game with my dad, and we had heard in the second half that there had been some kind of crash or mishap at the airport. But we didn't really know what it was or who it was. And then when we got home that night and we turned on the TV, there were live reports from the scene, and it was confirmed that it was the Aces. And so, the TV stations did, round the clock, coverage, and everybody I grew up with, everybody who lived in town, all of my siblings, remember where they were when they heard the news. It was just, a catastrophic event that crushed my hometown.
And so as this comes out that it's really the entire team, these aren't all people from Evansville, but yet this is an integral section of the Evansville community. So what's the grieving like in town? Are we talking shops closed that day in honor and people just don't know what to do with themselves, 9/11 type tragedy?
Well, I mean, I hate to compare it to 9/11. Other folks have done that. But I was in fifth grade, and my fifth grade teacher was a young woman who was somehow affiliated with the university, and she broke down in the middle of the day and had to leave the room. Time kind of stopped in Evansville for several weeks, right before Christmas, and just questions about, were they going to continue the program, and what exactly happened, and there were three newspapers in Evansville at the time, if you can believe that, and they covered it wall to wall, dozens and dozens of stories in the next couple of days. So the town kind of, time stood still.
This was Evansville at the time, and probably even still now, very blue collar, right?
Yeah, it's very much of a manufacturing town. Where the economy had peaked during World War II, when its factories were sort of retrofitted to make ammunition and fighter jets and planes, and boats, and it had begun, it had begun to decline like the rest of the country in the 70s. There were strikes and there were layoffs, and the biggest employer in town was a Whirlpool plant, actually three of them. And, they went from 10,000 employees, down to eight, down to five, as the economy got worse.
It's kind of an O. Henry plot twist to this. One player was not on the airplane, right?
Yeah, David Furr, really sort of tragedy on top of catastrophe. David was a freshman who tried out for the team, did not have a scholarship, and earned a spot as a walk-on. He, during practice, injured his ankle, and so he wasn't able to play. But the coach, Bobby Watson, said, I want you to stay with the program. I want you to rehab your ankle. And in the meantime, I want you on the bench with us, keeping stats during home games. So, David wasn't on that flight. And, he was spared. And he went home for Christmas break a few days later, and his mom just felt like it. He had been saved. It was a sort of a miraculous thing that had happened, and her son was back home, okay. They were celebrating the holidays. A few days after Christmas, David and his younger brother Byron were coming home from a high school basketball tournament. When they were killed in a car crash in South Central Illinois. So beyond belief that something like that would happen to somebody who escaped the crash.
So the team was actually flying down to play Middle Tennessee. What was the what actually happened with the plane crash? How did it go down?
Yeah, well, they were flying a charter flight December 13th of 77, and they were expecting to leave for Nashville, I think mid-afternoon. It was a really foggy, rainy day. It had been raining for days and days, but it wasn't, weather was not a factor in the crash. So the charter company was late. When they finally got there, 3 hours late, they hurried the players and with their bags of burgers and fries, they hurried them onto the plane. They dumped all the luggage in the back. They did not evenly distribute the luggage, which was a problem. And then they didn't take these locks off of the wings, which if you leave the locks on, the pilot can't use the wings to steer the plane. And so what happened is they took off, they never got really at a very high altitude. The back was sagging because there was too much luggage in the back. And they did a circle over the subdivision next to the airport. And, they hit the tops of trees and they knocked over a street light. And this was all within, a minute and a half. And the pilot was trying to return to the airport to make a crash landing or an emergency landing. And he lost altitude right along some railroad tracks, and you know, the plane dropped from the sky and burst into flames.
Just an unbelievable imagining that. Talking with Steve Bevan about his new book, We Will Rise, A True Story of Tragedy and Resurrection in the American Heartland. Steve, you started putting this book together several years ago. You're writing it 40-some years after the event happened. What are the recollections like as opposed to the media coverage at the time? I mean, are you having to reconcile a lot of different memories?
Well, you know, I did almost 250 interviews, and with you know, not just people in the town, but you know, the survivors, the elderly parents, and the aging siblings of the people who were on that plane, and they were incredibly gracious to me. And you know, I also had thousands of documents and went through newspapers. So, you know, it was, I didn't find any major conflicting stories, but I did really appreciate all of the time that that those folks gave me. They were very generous in talking about something that is still very painful for them, you know, four decades later. Those guys on that plane would be in their early 60s right now. And these families have suffered their loss every day since then.
And I think there's a tribute to the basketball team. It's called the Weeping Basketball there at the Fieldhouse.
Yeah, well, it's on campus, and it is it's a memorial to the team with a sort of basketball shaped fountain that is always running, and then two stone columns with the names of the players on the you know, carved into the stone, and then a little portion of the eulogy that the president of the university gave that says, "Out of the agony of this hour, we will rise." And so that was really the impetus for everything that happened after the crash, as the town and the university put the program back together.
And so much of this book is dedicated to putting the program back together, and so it's not all a tragic story. There is triumph after the tragedy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing is going to make up for you know, the catastrophe of the crash, but they the university hired just 2 months later a really sort of brash and ambitious young coach, 30 years old. His name was Dick Walters, and Dick, you know, Dick was prepared to pour every ounce of his being into rebuilding that program, and he did that. You know, he recruited some junior college kids and some transfers from big schools, including the three guys from Iowa, and then four freshmen. And they went from 13-16 in the 78-79 season to 23-6 in the 81-82 season, ranked 20th in the country, and they went to the NCAA tournament. So Dick really did an incredible job. He turned a lot of people off because he was wasn't afraid to speak his mind. He was kind of an arrogant young man, and he didn't always ingratiate himself to the fans, but he really did pull off an incredible rebuilding job.
All right, the book is We Will Rise, A True Story of Tragedy and Resurrection in the American Heartland by Steve Bevan. Steve, thanks for writing such an entertaining book. It's such a terrible subject to have to cover, but the way you did it, you did justice and wonder to it, and I thank you for that, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. Have a good rest of your day.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.